Last week we were talking about in Matthew how our Lord is is meek and lonely. Remember, he talked about putting on that yoke and learn of him. So we're using that as an example of going through where he says to learn of him, right? So we know the part of it speaks of salvation to come to him. The other part is in our Christian walk, when we're walking. We also talked in 1 Peter last week about, it said there was no gal, right? We're talking about when we as believers will be persecuted, made fun of for the cause of Christ. People may think we're funny, or they think that that's weird, right? Especially in this day and age that we live in. And we saw what happened when our Lord walked on the earth without sin. The Bible says without guile, right? That means without craft, deceit, deception. You know, there was no revenge that our Lord did. I mean, he loved people and cared for people. Now, when you're looking at Mark chapter 10, look here at verse 43. Mark chapter 10, verse 43. The next thing we're going to look at is talking about being a minister, or talking about being a servant, right? The example of our Lord, and how we should be that example also. So in Mark chapter 10, the Bible says in verse 43, But so shall it not be among you. So let me step back and go to verse 42, so that way you can kind of see a little content that's here. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, ye know that they that are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them, right? So here it is. He's talking about those, and he was using the illustration of the Gentiles, of those that have power, those in authority, and how they kind of say things that are here. And then he says, but so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So that word minister is talking about an attendant or a waiter, right? Think about servant as being subjective, right? As in serving. So remember that. Look over here to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. About ministering, right? Ministering. If you look over here to Luke 22, and if you look down at verse 27, verse 25 and 26 is kind of like what we just read in Mark. But if you look in verse 27 of Luke, you could see a little bit more of that conversation that was taking place. It says, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, right? So he's using this illustration, right? So if, let's say that we were invited to the White House, and as we went to the White House that was there, the president, the cabinets are all there, and we're there watching, and they may be at their table, and then they'll have people that would come in and serve them, right? So he used this illustration. Maybe it'd be better showing a king and his people that are there. And he's saying, you know, who has greater, right? So if you have a king and those that are servants coming in, you would say the king. But look what he says here. He says, for what is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Can I tell you, there is none greater than God, right? He is Lord of Lord, King of Kings. And here it is, he's talking about serving, right? The serving. So go over here to the book of John, get a little bit more. In John chapter 13, about serving. In John chapter 13, we know that this was the Passover when our Lord was with his disciples, and he told the one there would be someone that would betray him. We know that was Judas. And look what he says here in John chapter 13, verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you, right? So here is his disciples that were there. And you imagine back in those days, they could have had the sandals on, their feet could have been dirty. And as they're, walking around, their feet could get, dirty that's there. There could be other things. And then ultimately, our Lord takes his garment off, puts another one on, and goes around, gets some water. And then he goes up to his disciples. He gets down and starts washing their feet. Can you imagine that? Here's God himself in the flesh, washing the feet of his own disciples. And then he washes his feet of who else? Of Judas, the one who would betray him. And then he says those things at the end of verse 12. Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. Right? He is Master. He is Lord. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. He's talking about serving, right? Serving. We live in a day and age. You know one of the characteristics of this day and age that we live in? The Bible talks about it in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the last days there shall be perilous times, right? And one of the characteristics of this time, any thought that you may have what it would be? One of the characteristics of this time? You could probably see it, right? What do you see in the characteristics of this time which our Lord warned? Yes?
Love of self.
Love of self, right? We see that. We see that especially in Augsburg, but all over the world that you see that. And what do I mean by that? You have parents. One of the characteristics also said parents not caring for their children without natural affection. And that's what it speaks of. That's one of the characteristics of the Bible says in the last days, right? Last days started after Jesus arose. And you see that. It's baffling to me the number of grandparents who are raising their grandkids. Why is that? Well, there are times, right, where the parent may die or something like that may happen. But most times, what are you seeing? It's because of love of self. The parents don't care about their kids. And it's sad when you think about that. But that's the generation, that's the world that we live in today. People don't care. And I can't say this for all work environments that are out there. But a lot of jobs today, a lot of big corporations, not all, but a lot of big corporations, the truth of the matter is they care about the bottom line. What they care about is we need to make money. And again, I understand I'm not against making money, because you don't make money, then you can't have people with a job. But there was a time where it seemed like people cared more. There would be times where people even give bonuses, like a Christmas bonus or whatever, and it seemed like that went away. There was a time where people gave pensions, and it seemed like that went away. It seemed like a time they cared about their employees, but again, not as a whole, but you could see that. Why? Because we're living in a day and age that's changed, right? It's sad, this day and age. And here is our Lord, God himself in the flesh, the Son of God, came here, and he worshiped the feet of his disciples. You imagine if I came to you today, and I'm not Lord, right? But if I came there today, and I had a bucket, and put your feet in that bucket, took off your shoe, took off your sock, whoa. I'd be like, whoa, that stinks. Amen. And put your foot that was there, and just washed your foot. That would probably be humbling, wouldn't it?
It'd be shocked.
Yeah. Chris, you'd probably be like, preacher, don't do that, right? Yeah, you know what I mean? You would say it would be humbling, right?
Yeah.
It'd be really humbling. Yeah. You imagine those disciples, other than Judas, they knew who he was, that he was the God of heaven. You imagine just for a moment if you were back in those days, and here it is, John, that you are sitting there and our Lord Jesus Christ gets down and starts washing your feet? Remember John the Baptist said, you know, I am not even worthy to unloose your shoe latch, right? Yeah. But I would just be like, I should be the one doing that to you, right? Remember that lady that got healed and she went in, she saw our Lord and she got down, she had that ointment, she put that ointment on his feet and she used her own hair because who he is. And here he is washing their feet. And he says, what I have done it for an example. You know, as a believer, we should be willing to be whatever needs done for God. Whatever in the service of God, you know, if we need to, sometimes probably the restrooms are probably the, maybe literally, right? Pun intended, maybe, dirtiest job that you could probably do in the church, maybe, right? Can I tell you, it's needed, right? Yeah, I mean, what I'm saying is we should be willing to do whatever. Think about what Jesus did for us. But it's not just that. When you think about it, he cared for others, serving, serving. That's what people should see. We should be willing to serve. And you ask yourself, how can I serve? How can I use my talents for God? Yes, in the church, but you think about even outside. The Bible talks about widows, helping out people. Maybe those that are widows, helping people out, right? Here's a lady that you know, lost her husband and, you know, she needs some help done, you know. We should be willing to help, you know. So if you think about that, he's talking about serving, not living for self, living for the Lord, allowing the Lord to live through us, allowing the Lord to live through us, but having a spirit of humility. Having a spirit of humility. Don't ever get to that place in your life and say, I'll never do that. God has a way of humbling. God has a way of humbling. You remember, was it Nebuchadnezzar? It was like he walked in that palace and said, look what I've done. And God humbled him. And that man that was full of pride, that made that statue of gold that was there, that vision was there, that if you didn't bow down to that vision, John, I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace. I mean, that was a prideful man. And after God was done humbling him, he writes a letter and sends it out by the people to go all through the provinces and says, I want to tell you what God did to me. When you read that in the book of Daniel, that was the king himself. We read it, and what do we see? We see someone who was humbled. Chris, he's the one that said, write it and tell everyone. Right? Why was it? God humbled him. He didn't care because he knew God. And he wanted all the people to realize there is a God of heaven. Right? Folks, can I tell you, we should be willing to have that humble heart, but what? To serve. To serve. Look here at verse 31. So you think about it, the example, he was willing to serve. We should be willing to serve. Look at verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of God, glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye seek me, and as I have said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say it to you. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my children, if ye have love one to another. Here it is, our Lord gives an example, right? And what is he telling us that we should do? We should do what? Love one another. Love one another, right? Love one another as he has loved us. So now think about that one just for a moment, right? Now there's things we can't do because he's God, right? And he's the sacrifice. But you think about how he loves us. And you think about, we as believers, we should be willing to show love. Show love. I'm not talking love of the world, right? The world uses the word love and they just, you know, they tie sex to it, right? And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that, husband and wife, right? But I'm talking about love. I mean, caring for other people. You know, when I was growing up, my parents, I know they loved me. But for whatever reason, they didn't tell me they loved me that much. You know, my dad, he had a pretty rough life. My dad was homeless for a while. My dad was disowned by his parents. You know, the last thing he remembers of his actual dad was pretty much he fell out of a truck when he was like 4 or 5 years old. His dad looks at him and he's crying because he just fell out of a pickup truck. He's like 4 or 5 years old looking up, seeing his dad. And his dad cusses at him and says, "Let him die." That's the last thing my dad remembers of his actual dad. Can you imagine that? I mean, my dad came from a pretty rough family. His grandma was a witch or in witchcraft. I mean, he was a drunk. He hated God. And so he had a rough life. He ended up getting adopted. There was a family that took him in and adopted him. And that's why my last name's Welsh. If not, we'd be Slicklers or something like that. It's something weird. I can't remember what it was. I told my sister, I said, "Does that mean I'm like a slickster or whatever it was?" So I missed my calling, right? No, I'm just joking. But where was I going? So it could have been maybe some of the things that maybe he never heard it, right? So, but I didn't hear it too much. But one thing, you know, what I always want to do is I tell Ariana and tell my wife, I love them. Amen? So it's important to do that, especially as a young family. Tell your kids, right? They may not understand, but just tell them all the time. But not just good, amen. Not only just tell them, show them, right? Here it is. Our Lord said that He loves us, and He showed us, right? You can tell that our Lord loved us. Why? Well, He came here. He died on the cross. But you think about love, true love. True love will not compromise. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not talking about a husband and wife. Yes, there's compromise. But I'm talking about compromising God's word. Again, we're living in a day and age where they say, if you love me, you will be okay with me living in sin. Right? That's not love. If you know, think about it. If someone is living in sin and I really love and care for them, you know what I'm going to do? I will tell them, that's not right what you're doing. Now, they'll say, "You don't love me." No, I do love you. I love you so much, I'm willing to risk my friendship. I'm willing to, you know, potential friction because I love you. You're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong direction, right? So you do that to your kids, right? If little Mia was getting ready to run in front of the car, wouldn't you tell her, don't do it, right? If little Mia climbed up on a ladder up on top of the roof and she was ready to jump off, would you allow her to jump off? I mean, if there's a pool there, right? So, but you understand? Why is that? Is it because you don't love her? I mean, she really wants to be a bird. You're not going to allow her to jump off? What kind of dad are you? Because you love her, you'll say, "Mia, don't move," right? And you'll run up that ladder and grab your daughter and bring her down. And you tell her, don't ever do that again. Is that being unlove? No, it's because you love her, right? So it's the same. We live in a day and age where people are like, if you tell someone that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, they get mad at you. You don't love me. I do love you. I care for you. And that's why I'm telling you. So realize that. So you think about it, true love will tell someone the truth. Now have tact. Make sure you know when you're going to do it, right? Ask God to give you wisdom with that. But anyway, it will show love. Go over here to chapter 20. In chapter 20. Chapter 20. So he was an example of love. We should show love, right? We could tell people and also allow them to see it. But look over here to John chapter 20 about being an example. Another way to be an example is in John 20, look here at verse 21. John 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." What was he talking about here? "Even so send I you." Any thoughts? That was before. What was he talking about? "Even so send I you." Any ideas?
Go ahead. The Father sent him into the world to preach the gospel, to reconcile us back to God. So I think he's saying,
you're right on.
"My Father has sent me, so now I'm sending you to do what I'm doing here because I'm going back to the Father."
Yes.
Correct.
We are ambassadors of Christ, right? That means we represent Christ while we're here on this earth. And what God wants you to be and what God wants you to use you is to be a witness. Be a witness to others. Tell people about Jesus. I was talking to someone today at work and they were like, "It's getting crazy out there." And I told them, you know, it's going to get worse. But I said, I'm not worried about it. Because I know I accepted the Lord. And I start to talk to him about different things that were there. So share the gospel with people. Tell people. Allow people to see that. Look over here to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Now this is another one. So we see these things. And now he's given us another example. So this one, sometimes people forget or don't like it, maybe. So in Romans chapter 15, look here at verse 1. Romans 15, verse 1. "We then that are strong," that word strong, do you know what he's talking about, strong? Any idea what he's referring to, Miss Elma?
Mature,
yeah. That's what he's talking about. We that are strong. He's talking about us as believers that are strong, that are mature in the faith, that are grounded in the faith. So what is he telling us to do? "Ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." Now, again, don't take this verse out of context. He's not saying that you're going to be a servant and following someone that's around that's weak in the faith. That's not what he's saying here. "Let every man of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me." So that word bear talks about to endure. Now, for sake of time, I won't go through it, but if you go and read, you always have to remember the Bible, take it in contents. Romans chapter 14, at the first part, in verse 1, it says, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." There you go. "For one believeth that he may eat all things, another he is weak, eateth herbs," right? So in this chapter, in chapter 14, he's talking about, right? So there would have been Jewish people, there would have been Gentiles here that were saved. There were some Jewish people that were holding on to some of those Old Testament laws, maybe about eating, how they were eating, right? Or different things they could eat or couldn't eat. Some of them, you keep on going through, we're talking about special days that is mentioned here. And what he's telling is those that are weak in the faith. What is he saying? They're still in the faith. They're still believers, right? They may have just be holding on to something that they were taught or something they were brought up on. Or they're confused about something, or they just became a believer and they just didn't know, right? And so what he's saying is those that are weak in the faith, they haven't grown yet. They don't know this yet. And he's telling us as believers to receive them, right? And you have to remember all of chapter 14. I won't go through and read it all. All of chapter 14, when you get to chapter 15, the first three verses, is still added to that, right? So to use an example, let's say that Chris was a Jewish man and he just got saved. And he started to come to church. And as he's coming to church, he's still maybe holding on to some of those Jewish beliefs that he had. And he was thinking there's things he can't do. So he comes to church and he starts to talk to me and says, and he starts talking about those different diet things that are mentioned in Deuteronomy. And he's telling me all these things that are there. And what the Bible's saying is, those that are strong, right, to still receive him, right? He's a believer in the Lord. He just hasn't grown. And just listen to him and allow the Lord to give me wisdom and have patience when dealing with him. But if Chris tells me, you're not right with God unless you eat like I eat, that's what verse 1 of chapter 14 is saying and going through, right? So he's telling us as believers, right, realize that Chris is just a new believer in the Lord. He's still weak. He's growing, right? We can receive him and just allow him to grow. We don't compromise God's word. If Chris asked us, I mean, we could show him and explain what the Bible says about it. But we allow him to grow. Allow him to grow. Allow the Lord to work on him. And that's what he's saying. So if I invited Chris over to my house, I would not tell my wife to make pork, right? Because if I did that, you know, if you think about it, that wouldn't go well, right? And so I would say, hey, we're going to have something a little bit different, even though I know we could. I'm doing it to try to help him. Does that make sense? And that's what it's referring to. And that's what it's referring to is bear, right? We may have to bear, right? To endure. You know? Let's say that Chris is a vegetarian, right? And then I invite him over to my house. I am not going to have the biggest pot roast there for him, right? So we will have something else that's there, right? And I may have to bear because I like steak or I like whatever, right? But I'm doing it to help him. And that's what he's saying here. To grow in the faith, to help people to grow, right? Us that are mature, bear. And when you go back to chapter 15, now I know I'm not getting real deep into there, I could. But in chapter 15, when you go back and read that, ye which are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. He's saying, hey, just be willing to do that. Be willing to say, you know what? Honey, we're not going to have roast tonight because Chris is coming and Chris doesn't like to eat, roast. But anyway, we're going to have something a little bit different, a little salad or whatever, right? And we'll have to bear it, right? John's coming. You know what we're going to have bunch of. I've been picking on. I figured it'd be better, so I didn't want you to think I was picking on you. There you go. So, but anyway, that's what he's referring to, right? And then he used, when you think about this, you may say, "But our preacher, I don't like that. I should just tell him." Well, allow God to open up the door. And that's what he says here, right? That we would tell, right? And he uses an example, explaining that Chris shouldn't judge me because I eat, right? So, but he said at the same time, I shouldn't put a stumbling block in front of Chris that would hurt him in the faith. Does that make sense? So, but then in chapter 15, if you see in verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself. That is a reference back to Psalms. I wrote it down. You can go back and read it later. But in Psalms 69, you can see it talks about David, but it also talks about Christ. And in there, you know what it talks about? How Jesus bore our reproaches. He bore our reproaches. You know what that's saying? He did all this that he went through for us. Why can't we, in contents, why can't we then suffer a little bit or bear because Chris is not eating meat. That's what he's saying, right? By verse 3, we get into that. He's saying, oh, by the way, it's kind of like, by the way, don't forget all that our Lord did for you. We should be willing to bear these things for those who are weak or growing, right? So now you see, if you're talking about being an example, yes, to tell people, to show love, but to be a servant, but also to bear the infirmities, right? Helping someone to grow. I mean, what is your desire? I mean, your desire is to please the Lord, right? And don't you want to see other people to grow in the Lord? Remember that when you're dealing with other people, you know? Don't take a stake out and beat Chris upside the head with it and open his mouth and push the stake in there and say, you better eat, son! You know, that wouldn't be wise to do, right? That's not going to help him. That's what it's referring to. You read chapter 14, you see the first part of chapter 15, but we should be bearing. One more, then I'll be done for this evening. Look over here to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, one last one. This would be a good one for us to think about through this week. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look here at verse 32. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Another example, something we should do. Verse 32. Be kind one to another. We could see kind. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. The other one he talks about here is forgiving. How should we forgive others? What does he tell us here? To forgive like what?
As Christ forgave us.
Yes. How much did Jesus forgive you of?
Everything.
When Jesus was dying on the cross, he looked and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
They
didn't know who he
was really doing.
Yeah. Forgive them, right? Ask yourself, did Jesus ever do anything wrong? No. But you can't say that. You have. You know, there's been some things you have done that caused others to act the way they do to you. Right? Jesus didn't deserve any of it. And if he didn't deserve any of it, again, as Christ has forgave us, we deserve to die on the cross, not him. Why can't you forgive your brother or sister, your neighbor, your coworker? Why can't you forgive your friend from 20 years ago that did something to you or whoever it would be? We should. You know, one of the hardest things sometimes it seems like people struggle with is forgiveness. And can I tell you, you should be willing to forgive. Forgetting is different, but to forgive, being willing to forgive if someone's done something to you, forgive them. Because if you don't forgive them, you know what? Not forgiving someone will cause you spiritually. Anybody know? It causes a stumbling block. Anything else? If you don't forgive.
If you don't forgive, then I'm not going to say this is true, but I think that it's God's not going to forgive you for some of the things you've done, or he won't forgive you the same.
Your prayers could be hindered. Prayers could be hindered. Yes?
You hold a grudge and end up getting really bitter against them.
Yeah. Yeah. In Hebrews, to add to that, in Hebrews it talks about how bitterness can be planted. Chris did something against me, and I'm not willing to forgive him. And bitterness is now planted. And you know what happens? The devil will like to water that. Do you know what Chris did to you? You know? Do you know what Chris did to you? And it's watered. And those bitterness will grow roots. And what happens when you have roots? I have that in my backyard. I have those raspberry bushes. And I take my weed whacker and go right over them. And you know what happens? They come right back up. You know why? Because there is a root. You don't forgive someone, you'll have those roots. That there'll be times where you do a weed whacker per se and you could say something like chop. But the reality is you haven't dealt with the roots that have been there. And it'll end up turning to bitterness in your heart. And every time you see that person, you'll be bitter. And then what'll happen? You will act out on others that you see because you haven't been willing to forgive. He is our example, and He forgave us of everything. We should be willing to forgive others. Now, that's easy to preach, but that's what we should do. Be willing to forgive. Go ahead.
I love the verse before it, verse 31, to go up. Our emphasis, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away from you. That was just a tie up of what she said about bitterness.
And, yep.
You know, just
you have to, yep. Give it to God to deal with. I have had times in my life, I have had people lie about me, say all kinds of things about me. And I found in my life, when I heard some of the things that they were saying about me, oh, it made me mad. I'm just being honest. And then I recognized that I start to feel a little bitterness, John, when I start to see that person. And thank God, God revealed it to me, that I dealt with it. And you know what I did? I asked the Lord to forgive me. And then what I did on that matter, and I forgave them, and I start to pray for them. I didn't pray that God would bring lightning, right? That's what my flesh wanted to do, but I prayed for them. But I also then, when I saw them, that individual, John, I asked him about it. And I confronted him on a good way, wasn't mean about it. And you know what happened? God has worked things out. Even though the individual has never told me, I'm sorry for lying about you, I have forgiven them. That when I see them, I don't have bitterness in my heart anymore. We should be willing to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us. Remember that this week. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, I pray that people would be able to learn from this this evening. There's so much more that we can get into, but I pray, Lord, that people would learn from that. Thank you for the example that you are to us. And I do pray, Lord, that you'll help us to go home safely. I know there's a lot of people hurting, and I pray that you'd help them. And especially pray for Anthony. Lord, I pray that you'd help his kidneys. Help that you'd touch him. Help him to be able to figure out what they could do to help him. And just touch him. And what a blessing that would be. Thank you for that. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.